Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Happy to be joined first by Jack Oliver from Classic Hits KEYN. He's going to join in this interview with the great Don McLean, who joins us. He's got a documentary out right now on Paramount Plus. It's called The Day the Music Died, the story of Don McLean's American Pie. Don, this is a story those of us who love music have been eagerly awaiting for a long time.
Well, we started out around the pandemic 2 years ago, and we're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of American Pie, you know, just as a hook to sort of hang some things on. And so many things began happening. It was just really funny. We had that a cappella version of American Pie by Home Free, and then a man named Spencer Proffer came to us with the idea for a children's book, a Broadway show, and a documentary movie. So we started right away on the book and the movie, and they're both out now. But we really didn't know where the movie would go. I certainly didn't. And we had a man named Mark Moorman, who is the man who made the movie. And he did a spectacular job of researching and interviewing me and following this story. Really, this song, American Pie, was sort of brewing in me for at least 10 years. And it's all captured there in this wonderful movie. And then, you know, around halfway through the film, I said, you know what, we're missing the point here. Everybody's always wanted me to talk about the lyrics. So I got my guitar and I sat there and I said, okay, here's exactly what I was thinking as best I can recall. It's been a long time. That's what I did.
You know, the song is one of those where most people, like, say they can sing that hook in there, and they always think about Buddy Holly, of course, and Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper. And most people thought, man, that's really what the song is about. But it's so much more after we get into the documentary.
Yeah, that's just a starting point. That's the first thing that happens on the day the music died. Then each verse as you go along, more things happen on that tragic day. And yet it's a metaphor because the song moves forward through time. And I had so much fun writing this and thinking about it. I certainly never imagined that it would be the crowning achievement of my writing career. I just loved doing it. I was having fun with it. And Ed Freeman, who made the American Pie album, produced the album, did a spectacular job. And you can see in the movie that he didn't think much of me and didn't think much of my songwriting or my guitar playing, you know, and all. I had a lot of uphill battles, but I wanted him because I had heard another album that he made, a couple of records that he made, and I thought they were exactly what I was looking for. So, and a lot of people turned me away and said, you don't want that guy, you know, here, have this guy. That I didn't want a glitzy, snazzy producer. I wanted Ed Freeman. He was sensitive and thoughtful, and as a result, we had a lot of fights about a lot of things, but we did it.
Don McLean is our guest. He's got a documentary out right now on Paramount Plus, The Day the Music Died. So you mentioned having this song in your head for years before it was ever finished. What was the – take us through the song, that.
The song wasn't in my head. Buddy Holly's death was in my head.
Gotcha, okay.
At the time I was a paper boy, and I was mesmerized by his music and – saddened by his death, which I took personally. And then many more things happened to me. My father died. Kennedy was assassinated. We went into a whole 60s season of killings that happened. And then this dreadful war that had been going on since the 50s was picking up steam after Kennedy was killed, of course, and it got white hot under Nixon and LBJ. And so I carry this with me, and I'm absorbing all of this other stuff. And same time I'm going to school and trying to learn how to sing and play and break into the music business. And that's a long story. That's in the movie, too. But at one point or other, I had gotten to know Pete Seeger, and he took a few kids to sing with up to the Newport Folk Festival. And there were one of my idols, the Everly Brothers, and they just killed the crowd. And finally, the Newport people were allowing country and rock artists to come because they were so snooty before about folk music, you know, which is a very snooty kind of music, you know. Everybody has to be proper pedigree, you know. And so, and meanwhile, these boys were really country, really folk, you know. They weren't college kids from Harvard, you know. They were real Kentucky boys, you know, made it big. And their father was there also, Ike Everly. So anyway, I went up to Phil Everly, who I thought was the most approachable, I guess, and he was very sweet, and I had a little conversation with him. I said, I know you were really good friends with Buddy Holly, I was just a kid. I didn't say, what happened, you know, is what I said, just blurted it out. And he said, well, you know, he died because he took a plane, and he took the plane because he had to do his laundry. And when he said that, it just shook me up. Suddenly I saw a real person, you know, a live person who was, and I've since learned more about him, how he left Clovis, New Mexico and Texas, you know, and moved with his new bride to Greenwich Village and would sit and watch the kids in Washington Square Park sing folk music. And he was on a new journey, and there was no more crickets, none of that. And he wrote a whole bunch of songs in his apartment called the apartment tapes, which ended up being the Buddy Holly Story Volume 2. Wonderful songs, Crying, Waiting, Hoping, Well, All Right, you know, That Makes It Tough, Peggy Sue Got Married. Oh, Lord. I mean, just, he was so talented. I mean, it's just amazing. And then Norman Petty took those tapes and added a lot of stuff to them. And he had the Buddy Holly Story Volume 2. So now I was writing songs because I had my first album done. It was called Tapestry. And I had two songs on there that would turn out to be winners for me. One was And I Love You So, and the other was Castles in the Air. And I had a lot of other songs on that record, too. But I had two winners there as far as commercial stuff. I didn't think about commercial things, but that's the reason why I got a chance to make another record. Right. So you know, I was working on this American Pie thing, but I didn't have any title. I had 8 or 9 songs, and they were coming slowly. And then one day I was, it's all in the movie, one day I was in my little room, you know, sitting in my chair with the rockers on it. And long, long time ago came right out of me, just that whole first slow part of the song in one go into the tape recorder.
Wow.
And yeah, and I stood back and said, whoa, what's that, you know? So that was the beginning. Well, then I had a whole lot of opportunities to go a lot of different ways. I could have repeated that. I could have, I don't know, I could have done 100 different things, but I knew what I wanted. I wanted a verse chorus, and I wanted to tell some sort of a mythical story about politics and music moving forward, and that's what I did.
You know, Don, I remember getting that song at the radio station and going in and playing it for the program director. I said, this is a great song. We have to play this song. And, of course, the first thing that came up was, that's 8-9 minutes long. You know, what? Do you have a 3-minute version of it? No, you have to play the whole song. This thing is that good. And luckily enough, we had a program director that went ahead and said, okay, let's see what happens. And, boy, you know, like I say, it was just mesmerizing when you first heard that.
It was magic. It really was, and still is. It still got what it had then. It enthralls people. It entertains people. They like to think about it. They like to not think about it and just sing it drunk. You know, they just like it. And it's just fun on a lot of levels, and it's serious on a lot of levels. And it, I think it perfectly replicates the way that I think. that is me. American Pie is Don McLean. I mean, that's how I think. That's how I am. That's what matters to me. And it's, of course, luckily for me, that probably one of the best things I ever did is also the most famous thing I'm known for. I would be too happy if some song I didn't like, you know, was a song that was that I was the most famous for.
I was going to ask about, you know, people sitting there listening to the song when Lori Lieberman was sitting there at your concert, and she ends up writing lyrics to a song, listening to you sing Killing Me Softly with his song, which turned out to be a number one hit record for Roberta Flack. And how do you feel like you inspired her to write another great song just by somebody listening to you at a concert?
You know, I've had a lot of wonderful things happen to me in my life, and it's all been because people wanted to make them happen. I didn't make anybody do anything. I didn't try to get anybody to do anything. All I ever did was just, I'm completely free about it, all this stuff. Just put these albums out there and put these songs out there and sing them the best I can. I don't fool around on stage. You know, I don't throw music away, and I don't make fun of things that are my songs. I like what I do, and I'm proud of what I've done, and I present it to the audience, you know, in a nice way. But I do fool around, but I mean, not, I don't, you know, mess around with the songs, rush through them. I mean, you know, remember that last, I love Elvis Presley. In fact, he did a great version of And I Love You So, which I'm so proud of. He did many versions of it, but you know, that last CBS concert where he was, you know, terribly overweight and slurring his words and stuff. I mean, that's the ultimate terrible ending to a great artist, you know, who hated his hit. I mean, he sang some of these songs that, you know, Fairy Tale and, you know, some of these songs that, I mean, they're okay, I guess, but he had so many hit records. He could have sung Blue Suede Shoes. He could have sung, you know, a million other tunes, and he, And it would have been so much better, but he just didn't want to do them, you know. And I don't know. It's you have to keep your discipline if you can. And I think so. When I step on the stage, I try to do my best for people. And that night, I sang the song "Empty Chairs," which I guess she resonated with in some fashion. And that's how the "Killing Me Softly" song was created.
Well, Don, we really appreciate you coming on our show to talk about this. We'd be remiss not to mention your children's book that you have out called American Pie, The Fable. You'll also be touring here shortly, and you'll be in Europe, Western Europe, for a couple of months. So a busy guy.
Yes. You can get the children's book on Amazon or anywhere that books are sold, and it's a nice combination to let little kids, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, hear American Pie and then see the books. It's kind of a little world, and there'll be other books too.
Awesome. Don, thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me, man. I enjoyed it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.